Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
All right. Welcome everyone here to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. We're excited and grateful to have you here today as we talk about three confident mindsets that are going to drive your spouse wild. So thank you for joining us here at the Thriving Marriage Podcast. We are the number one resource for helping couples thrive in the world. And we want to thank each and every one of you for joining as we fulfill our mission to help millions of couples have a thriving marriage. So I'm Heather Choate and I'm here with Mark Johnston. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Heather, for having me here.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I've been up since 3 a.m. With my head just like going through a ton of thoughts. I tend to do that. So if I seem a little out of it, that's why. All right. But I'm excited to be here. All right. So Mark, today we're talking about three confident mindsets. And I want to make sure that everyone stays to the end because I want to make sure you don't miss any of these confident mindsets in your marriage, especially if your spouse is pulling away. That's where most of us are at, right? And I want you guys to know that what we're going to talk about today, the strategy we're going to talk about, and these kind of secrets about these confident mindsets is very different than what's being said out there in our culture today. And so it's probably not something that you've heard. And honestly, a lot of those things like, I don't know, like fake it till you make it and just be strong and, you know, self-worth and self-confidence and woman power. I mean, those all have their place, sure, but they typically don't work when it comes to this type of situation when you're wanting to restore a relationship. So make sure you listen to each of them because it's very different than what's being said out there. And it's probably not what you think it's going to be. So before we get to that, we're going to go to our client win of the week. This one is anonymous and I will share it if that's okay. They said that the Thriving Marriage puts out a lot of products and they are actually good at teaching relationship skills, which is something lacking in marriage counseling. My husband told me in February that he wanted a divorce. I started working through the modules of the PATH program and a coaching program that's called PATH. We are still married and we're really happy now. And then in her comment here on Facebook, she left the link to our PATH course. If you are also wanting to check that out, go ahead and leave a comment, say PATH in the comments, and we will get that to you. In addition to that, I want to also say that if you have any questions for us, if you're feeling like you're lacking in your mindset, you're wanting help with where you're at in your relationship, leave a comment and we'll coach you on exactly what to do. So we'd love to see your comments. We respond to every single one of them. So Mark, let's talk about confidence and what might be killing your confidence when it comes to attracting your spouse. We asked this question over in the Thriving Marriage group, and I was going through some of your guys' answers. And there were some commonalities, and we're definitely going to touch on some of those. Some of the biggest ones being distrust, right? Their actions, again, probably leading to feelings of distrust. I just don't have a lot of confidence in them. My own guilt. I've lost my partner's trust. And so their distrust of me or my guilt is leaving me to have a lack of confidence. And we heard a lot about different walls being put up, different barriers being put up that's putting you guys into more of an insecure situation. And the biggest one that I saw, mostly from females, was my weight. So I've gained some weight or my body isn't what I want it to be. And that's why I don't feel so confident about being able to attract my spouse back. So we want to be able to address those things today. So Mark, what are we talking about when we're talking about confidence?
Well, a lot of what confidence is about is essentially being okay or being at peace with a situation. It's this sense of being self-assured. You know, if you think about like those examples of where people are confident in healthy ways, I don't mean cocky or I don't mean people who are bowling over other people, being dismissive of others, but like those really healthy, confident sort of stances, it's a lot of that. It's like, I am okay. I am going to be okay. Generally, confidence is a lot about taking action on things. It's about being able to step forward. And as I mentioned, being okay with whatever outcome may happen. The thing is, like, we tend to have a lot of control over our actions, and maybe not quite as much all the time over our feelings, which I'm going to talk a little bit about later. But you know, like, we can see that, like, when people are a bit more decisive, when they're taking action, when they are self-assured, we tend to view these people as very confident, and it tends to be fairly attractive. Even if you are feeling scared, and you can still demonstrate confidence with a lot of your action. I mean, we could probably talk for quite a while just on, like, what confidence is and is not. But, like, I think that's a big part of what it is. You know, just very quickly, what I don't think it is, as I think I mentioned a moment ago, it's not about being dismissive of others' opinions or needs. We tend to view these people who take action and are very sure of themselves, but, like, put other people down, we tend to view these kind of people negatively. And I do see sometimes that there's a bit of a mix-up. I can even think of some people that I've worked with where they were so sure that they should be quote-unquote confident, and that meant not listening to their partner, and that meant doing things anyway, even though their partner asked them not to. And it wasn't viewed very well. Doesn't mean blindly moving forward without a plan. Sometimes they're like, okay, I'm going to be confident. I'm going to make a decision right now, and I'm going to go. And it's still not viewed as confident. It's more viewed as impulsive, even though you're taking action and you're making decisions. You might also be confident while being decisive, but if you're reacting emotionally, it's not generally seen as confident. I mean, Heather, have you seen people who are like, well, you've done this to me, and now I'm not going to speak to you anymore? And, you know, there's this decisive action. But Heather, would you call that confident?
Right. It's more of that reactive, like drawing a harsh line in the sand in the heat of a moment. And then rarely do we actually follow through on those boundaries. Or if we do, then they weren't set in a very healthy way to begin with. So they usually don't stand the test of time.
Well, it's not even about whether you keep those boundaries or not, but, like, can you imagine, could you even, like, really call someone confident if they're reacting emotionally and making decisions in those moments? I mean, yes, it's decisive. Maybe they are not going to go back down off that decision, but we tend to call that person either stubborn or emotional, not confident.
Not confident, right.
Yeah. Certainly isn't being immune to feedback. Like, there's an aspect of confidence that where you're going to stick to a decision, but if you stick to a decision and are completely immune to feedback, that's not necessarily confident. We tend to call that stubborn. Like, so there's, like, parts of it that where we say, yes, this is confident, but if you just shift a small thing, it turns into something very negative. Either that's, you know, stubborn or emotional or reactive or impulsive, even though a lot of those same names have aspects of being confident in them.
Yeah. So this is really good clarity as we get started here. And as you're listening, I'd love for you to rate your own level of confidence that you feel in yourself and then in your marriage as well. So a level one being, I'm completely insecure. I don't feel like I have any value, or I'm on really shaky ground here. And 10 being, I feel totally confident, totally secure. I feel calm. I feel centered. I'm okay no matter what happens, because I know it's going to be okay. That's, like, the kind of confidence that we're talking about, instead of stubbornness or egotistical or, you know, anything like that. So rate yourself and let us know in the comments. Go ahead and put it here in the chat as we're doing this live, and rate yourself how you feel on that scale. And we all have different points of areas of life where we probably feel more confident than others. Like, maybe you feel really confident in your ability to do your job or to parent or to do work, right? Or maybe you feel really confident in your spirituality, but maybe you feel really less confident about yourself physically. Like a lot of women were talking about their weight and their looks. Maybe you feel less confident about your ability to solve problems with your partner, less confident about your ability to trust others, less confident about your ability to put your walls down because you're afraid of getting hurt again. So there's a lot of reasons why we develop this lack of confidence, right? And it's easy to be confident if you've never been hurt in a relationship. That's easy. Like it's easy to have confidence and trust and vulnerability and all those things. But that's not the reality for any of us, right? The reality is that we have been hurt, and that often causes us to feel insecure going forward and to want to put up the walls. And we feel like we're standing on a shaky foundation, right? And that's really hard to move forward in a very vulnerable relationship. Like a marriage is the most vulnerable of all relationships. And that becomes a big barrier there. So if you're feeling really insecure, ask yourself why. And where does that insecurity lie in your body? Like check in with yourself. Do you feel it as like tightening in your chest, like pain in your chest? Do you feel like your shoulders are kind of curling forward? Do you feel it as tension in your forehead, clenching of your jaw? Do you feel it as anxiety, like the pit of your stomach? Where does the anxiety live in your body? And at the same time, where does confidence live in your body, right? If we have a confident posture, we even change our physiology, right? We roll our shoulders back. We put our chin up. We look people in the eye, right? We stand strong. So I want you to feel what both of those feel like physiologically. And there's a way that we can even use some of our physiology. We're going to talk about that with confidence here in a minute with emotion to get your body into a state of actually producing confidence type hormones and feelings and chemicals in your body. And the opposite is true as well. When you're feeling really insecure, not confident, not trusting, you tend to close in, you tend to retreat, pull your heart back, right? You literally are pulling your heart away because you're trying to protect it. And your heart goes back into the chest cavity. And you go into this more defensive, insecure type of posture. And you can feel that in your body. Would you guys agree? So try it for a second. Try to feel like that insecurity in your body and then shift it to confidence. Where does confidence lie in your body? Think about people also who are confident to you. How do they look? How do they present themselves? How do they walk? How do they talk? Those are all things that we might be able to see on the outside. And that's where most people tend to focus and think, oh, just fake it till you make it. Or, just lose some weight and then you'll be confident. No. That's not it at all. So we're going to show you how to actually be confident from the inside out, not just the outside in. So let's go right now into our confident mindset number one, which is confidence in emotion. Mark, what does confidence in emotion look like?
Yeah, so I would say that an emotionally confident person is someone who is emotionally intelligent. It means being able to identify your emotions in the moment and choose how you want to respond to those emotions. If you think about your interactions that you've had with your partner, with other people, perhaps even with, you might even look at children, and think about when you've noticed people react to their emotions, like as in they're angry and they're reacting angrily versus a situation where someone might have that same emotion and they're able to calmly talk about it. And like, look at those two situations and which kind of situation do you prefer to be in? I think just about everyone, I can't think of anyone who would say, yeah, I want a really emotionally reactive partner. I think most people would say, hey, I want someone who can be calm, who can talk about their emotions, who can look at their emotions and discuss what is going on, but they're responding to their emotions rather than reacting. Mm-hmm. Like I said, think about these emotional reactions. Did these people appear confident to you? And I want you all to think about your own emotional reactions and how that might be appearing to your partner or to other people. It can really create a huge contrast, just being able to like slow things down for a moment to observe your emotions and choose how you want to respond. I don't know about you, Heather, but I know like you know, for this in particular, this this is what I think one of the stronger areas in my marriage with Jen has a big impact on how we go about handling things is being a bit more confident in our emotions. Heather, like, can you think of like a specific instance perhaps of where confidence in emotion or lack thereof has affected perhaps you and Ben in your interactions?
Yeah. So unlike you, I would not say it was a strength for Ben and I. Definitely not a strength for me, maybe more of a strength for Ben, as far as reacting emotionally instead of responding. And this is one of the things that I see really commonly as well with a lot of people that come to us is you're in so much fear and you're in so much insecurity and lack of confidence that you just tend to react. And I did the same thing. And so for me in my marriage, it was really choosing how I wanted to feel, but also taking the shame out of emotions. And that to me was a big turning point because I used to shame myself if I felt anger or shame myself if I felt an immense amount of sadness or a very strong, you know, emotional reaction that was negative of any kind. You know, we all tend to pick up on that, right? Would you guys agree? Like, we're told, you know, big boys don't cry. Girls should be seen and not heard, right? Like, you know, stop crying. Don't yell. Control your anger, right? And we're really shamed and taught that those emotions are bad and that they're scary to other people. And so we should just stop feeling the way that we're feeling. And so we learned that some emotions are not okay to feel, but it's actually not true. All emotions are okay. And they're actually all good. They're good because they come to teach us something. We call it your internal guidance system. Your emotions teach you, okay, this is moving me in a good direction. Oh, that's not moving me in a good direction, right? If we didn't have that, then we would get into a lot of trouble. The problem is that sometimes we get stuck in those negative emotions and they tend to fester. And that happens when we try to suppress them and we don't allow ourselves to feel them, or we continue to feed them to reinforce a story that we're telling. And so we get stuck in anger or bitterness or sadness, depression, anxiety, all of those things linger when we don't actually process through them. So the Latin root of emotion is in motion. So in motion means these emotions are meant to move through us and they come and they go and they're there to teach us and guide us, like kind of like your GPS on your car, you know, your phone guides you on where you're going and gives you little warnings if you've gone off track, recalibrating, right? And so our internal guidance system can do the same thing if we learn how to process through those emotions. And that's one thing that I love that we do, because Mark, I don't know if you agree with this, but I believe that this is like the heart of marriage restoration, is learning how to shift out of the fear and the desire to like hold on so tightly and get your partner back and make them come back. And you go into either demanding or pleading or manipulating or begging or freezing, all out of fear. And when we can shift you out of fear, which we do with our clients, then you get to this place where you're actually emotionally able to process through things and to respond rather than react and not get stuck in those emotions. So that was a long story. So hopefully you guys got some good nuggets from that. But yes, learning how to process through emotions has totally changed things for me. So I learned how like I can do that in a healthy way and I can feel anger and it's not a bad thing and it's not destructive and it's not unhealthy. It's actually a really healthy thing. And then I can go through that emotion and then get to this calm, confident place. Even as I'm feeling anger, it doesn't scare me anymore. I can be confident even as I'm feeling anger or sadness. And that's really shifted things for us as far as confidence goes in our relationship and our ability to solve problems together.
To give a perspective from the other side of things, you know, I would say if anything, some of the feedback that I've gotten from my wife, I tend to be a little bit more even in my emotions and either not getting super excited about things and not getting super, super negative. But I know like one of the things that my wife, Jen, has mentioned that she appreciates is me being able to be present for her when she has been emotional. And one of the struggles that we've had to work through is even myself being more present with my own emotions and being able to be open about those with my wife. It's an interesting kind of lesson to learn, but I'm looking back to those moments where either Jen or myself has been really able to be open with emotions in healthy ways. And those tend to be very secure sort of moments, very connecting moments, moments where like we really feel like the relationship is built up. And a large part of that is because kind of there's this internal message, this kind of this mindset here of like, hey, I'm okay with my emotions. I'm okay with the emotions of those people around me. And, you know, just having that sense of security around emotions, I will tell you 10 times out of 10, it has a big impact. Like you said, Heather, mm-hmm. We see a huge, huge amount of progress when people can kind of flip the switch a little bit, can be a lot more present with their own emotions or be more present with their partner's emotions. It allows a lot more things to flow.
I agree. And so this is where I disagree with the personal development world, where they're just saying, like, just be positive, just have a positive mindset. And I hear a lot of you guys saying, I'm just trying to be positive. And positivity is great, but it's not often real. And it's more important to be real and authentic and a human being that's not always positive and to be okay with that. And so it's a very different thing when you're trying to like force yourself to just be positive. It falls very flat for a lot of us. And I think some of us are getting to that point now where we're like, all these affirmations and these like, you know, positive self-talk and everything really isn't scratching the surface here. Why is that? Well, because you're a human being and you have states of being, right? Emotional states of being. And so we do something very different rather than just tell you to think positive and have a positive mindset. Yeah, you'll hear, like I talk about meditation, I do talk about mindset, but it is about being a being and accepting all states of the beingness in that is part of your journey. And so if you're in a lot of fear right now, if you don't feel like your emotions are safe, I mean, let me know in the comments, do you feel like you're safe with fear? Do you feel like you're safe with the feeling of anger? Do you feel like you're safe with the feeling of distrust? Are you safe to feel those things? Or do they feel unsafe to you? And if they do feel unsafe, then we need to work on that so that you can get to a place you can process through those things, take the fear out of it and the resistance out of it and getting stuck in those things out of it so you can actually move forward. That's what that's really all about. I love this confident mindset here. I'm okay with my emotions and the emotions of those around me. I can respond to emotions rather than react. So just to make this really, really clear, we're not saying don't feel what you're feeling. In fact, we're saying quite the opposite. Feel what you're feeling and then choose how you want to act. Would you agree, Mark?
Exactly. Yes.
Sum it up in that way? Yeah. Awesome. All right, let's go to confident mindset number 2. Which I know a lot of you talked about, which was trust in your partner. How can you have some confidence and trust in your partner? A lot of you talked about having broken trust and maybe they're having an affair or they've had affairs or they've broken trust in a lot of other ways. How can having confidence and trust in our partner?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky situation, especially when there have been breaches in trust. I do see a lot of this kind of push and pull sort of situation where there might be a breach in trust and then there's like this demand, like, why don't you trust me?
Well, yeah.
Well, there's a reason for that. And I still think that even in those scenarios that there is room for a confidence and a trust in your partner in some ways. What I think here is a trusting partner is a self-assured or confident partner. How those things might relate here, let's pretend that there has been a breach in trust. There is some infidelity and you and your partner are working things through. You know, being confident and trusting in your partner doesn't mean putting yourself in a situation where, you know, that's not smart. Like putting yourself in, like just saying, yeah, it's okay for you to go, you know, hang out with your affair partner again because I trust you. It's much more about like, how are you, once again, how are you reacting to your fear? How are you reacting to your all of this anxiety going on with this? You know, I think it ties quite a bit back to that confidence and emotion. I would say if you're confident in trust, that trust really kind of looks like a lack of control. It indicates an easygoing nature. It communicates that no matter how others act around you, you are going to be okay. And so like, this is like, do you see some themes here? Like, I'm okay with my emotions. I am okay with other people's actions. Hmm. It doesn't mean like that you condone things. That doesn't mean that, you know, like there aren't consequences, that there aren't boundaries, that you don't have to discuss boundaries or like what's going to happen if there's further breaches in trust. It's how are you going to go about that? Even further, like think about, we're talking about like confident mindsets and how that impacts a relationship. I want you to think about a time when your partner expressed trust in you and what that was like. Like I can remember in my marriage, you know, like Heather, years ago when we were starting this business, I don't know how Ben was talking to you, but like Jen for me was very, very much instilling that confidence and saying, hey, Mark, I know you're going to do the right thing. I can trust in your decisions here. I can tell that this is going to work out. I can support you. There's a lot of like that trust given towards me. And you know what? I look back on that and Jen and I look back at that and we're like, hey, that was a really nice bonding moment, something that really cemented us together quite a bit more. And it was because Jen had a lot of that confidence, that trust in me. So like it had a bit really big impact. And Heather, I mean, we see this in our clients as well, right?
Right. You know, that feeling that you get when your partner expresses trust in you mm-hmm. feels so good. Like you said, it's so bonding and it just makes you feel so secure as well to know that they trust you. And that leads to even greater levels of trust and greater levels of confidence, right? So if there's been a lot of distrust, where can you find some areas that you can express some trust? You might be able to say, you know, maybe they're having an affair, but maybe you could build up some trust and express some trust in them. Like, I know that you care deeply about our children and I trust that you're going to do what's right for them, right? You can find some other areas that fit where you might be at right now and express those levels of trust and increase those levels of trust through that process, right? You express it, they feel it, they respond, they want to do more to have that trust increased, and then your confidence increases on both ends. So yeah, also think about when your partner, you know, has reacted when you express some confidence in them mm-hmm. in the past, when you express some confidence in them and their decision making or in something that they did, what was their reaction? What happened with that?
Think can I give a story time. About that?
Yes.
I can remember like a very specific client, where one of the complaints was about how our client was a bit too controlling. And when we got right down to it, he did feel like anxiety around some of his wife's decisions, kind of worried about some of the things that she was doing. And she started to pull away. A big, big turning point was when he said, you know what? I trust that you're making the right decision for yourself. And I can support you in even though I don't really agree with that. Like, so where he actually demonstrated this is she wanted to move out and he went with her to, you know, buy supplies, buy some furniture for her new place, which was a really, really hard thing for him. But it really, really demonstrated this, you know, being at peace with her decision. This confidence that like, hey, no matter how people act around me, I can be okay. And it really, really went against that, this belief that he was really controlling, that he was always worried about what she was doing. and was a huge turning point for them. And she did move out, but then she kept contact up and she started coming back to the marital home more, and they started, you know, just hanging out more casually, and then things turned around and they got back together. But it was because of this expression of confidence and trust in her decisions.
Yeah, I love that. And I just want to touch on that. Finding that peace inside yourself, that it's going to be okay no matter what. I've seen that happen so many times with our clients, and it always just completely touches my heart, because that's when everything changes for them. I think that so many times we've been conditioned by our society, or just, I don't know, maybe it's just the human nature, to look outside ourselves for that happiness, and to look outside of ourselves and think that circumstances need to change in order for us to feel secure. I need that person to do this thing. I need them to end this affair. I need them to come back to me. I need them to do this one thing, and then I will feel secure. Then I will feel happy. Then I will feel confident. Then I will feel good enough. I need my husband to recognize that I lost 20 pounds. I'm going to one of your comments there. And then I will feel confident in myself, right? And my friends, what you're looking for is not out there. The things that you're looking for the most, the things that you're craving the most, the happiness, the peace, the security, the confidence, those things are already within you. So you're going to need to look within. And when you find those things, then you get to a place where, like, it doesn't matter what happens outside of me. Go back and think about people that you know are genuinely confident. They genuinely have like a peace and a serenity to them. Sometimes you call them centered. They just feel so grounded. It's like they're just on a solid foundation. And no matter what happens around them, they're okay. And I have seen you guys that have gone through this process and made these shifts get to that kind of state where you're like, I'm okay no matter what happens. And that's when everything starts to work. Because A, you take the pressure off, which is something we talk about in the PATH process, right? You start to increase some understanding. You have some empathy for what your partner's going through. And you're not like looking to them to be the source to fill your aching hurts, your aching wounds. You're not looking to them to be the source to give you that confidence boost. You've already found it within your side yourself. I got a little tongue tied there. You already found it with inside yourself. And then you feel so much better, right? And not only do you feel so much better, but then you're able to express some trust that's genuine in your partner, and they receive that really well. And that starts to really build a strong relationship there. I like this confident mindset here. I'm at peace with how others act around me. Other people's decisions are not going to upset me. I'm okay with other people making decisions for themselves, right? So you feel free, you feel lighter, you feel secure, you feel like you're on solid ground. And not only do you feel better, but when you are in that kind of a place, here's a little secret. It's very attractive. It's very attractive. We like to be around people that are centered and confident and easygoing and happy and aren't looking to us to fill every need for them, right? Then we get to a place where it's very attractive to be around that kind of person. And that's very attractive to your spouse as well. So it truly does drive your spouse wild, because we want to be around people like that. It's amazing to be around people like that. So any other thoughts on this one, Mark?
No, I think we can move on to the third confident mindset.
Awesome. I hope you guys are loving this. And again, stick around for this last one, because it's awesome. All right. Confident mindset three is that you have confidence in outcomes and decisions. Mark, take it away.
Yeah. So here's the thing with that. Confidence in decisions is not about impulse decisions or decisions without thinking things through. Earlier today, we were talking a few things that like what confidence is not about. And, you know, if you think about people who are making decisions and just going along and doing whatever, we don't generally describe them as confident. We describe them as impulsive. If they go out one day and they confidently, quote unquote, buy a car out of the blue, most people are going to get upset about a decision like that. Because, you know, one, they're not checking in with perhaps you and how that might impact you financially. And two, it doesn't seem like it's very well thought through. It can be incredibly attractive, though, if you think about what it is that you want and you stick to your decision. So, like, once again, it's, you know, being confident in decisions, it's not an excuse to not check in with your spouse or to disregard their feedback or fears. It's not about being stubborn. It's not about sticking to your decision no matter what. Those have elements of being confident in them, but it's not confidence itself. Because somewhere in there, like if you're impulsive or if you are stubborn or if you are disregarding feedback, there is some part of you there that isn't really at peace with the, you know, with all the decisions that are being made. It's, you know, either I'm on, you know, I'm not at peace with how other people feel about my decision, or I'm making a decision and I'm being impulsive because, you know, I'm not at peace with being able to trust in my judgment, perhaps. And I'm going with whatever feels good in the moment. But like all these other things, it's communicates some amount of not being at peace with the decision in some way or another. I'll admit, like, this is an area that, like, my wife and I are not quite as great at. We like to deliberate a lot. We tend to be a little bit indecisive, but, you know, one of the things that we try to push each other on is this confidence in decisions. And I'll tell you, you know, my wife really responds well when I can think things through and then make a decision confidently. She responds very well, and I respond very well to her doing the same. I mean, that might be a weakness, but we really, really try to prop the other person up when we see that decisive action. And it feels really, honestly, like when I see my wife do things like that, it makes everything feel more secure. It makes it feel as though, okay, here's my wife taking care of things. Like, I don't need to worry about this because I can trust in her decision because she's very confident herself. It's very grounding. It's very settling being around people who can be confident in their decisions. And that's why it's so attractive.
Yeah. I want to touch on the other side, because mm-hmm. I've made the mistake of being maybe overly confident or decisive to the point where I haven't checked in with spouse and I may be disregarding a little bit of his feedback or his fears. And that feels very invalidating to him. Mm-hmm. And I'll hear words like bulldozing, controlling, pushing me, right? And so I've learned that while I am very confident in the things that I want and the things that I desire, that I need to be very mindful about slowing down and making this a co-creation process. That's what I call it with Ben and with God personally. And so I want to make sure that I'm not just plowing ahead with what Heather wants because I'm so confident in what I want and I feel so sure about it that I get to the unhealthy spectrum of being controlling and bulldozing, but that I truly am listening and understanding and creating in a way that feels good to both of us. And that feels really, really good when we can create in that way, because then I know that, yes, I have confidence in what I'm doing, but Ben has confidence in what we're doing. And we're unified in that. You know, we have that unity, and that feels really, really good. I also want to touch on, you know, sometimes I see you guys come and you don't know what to do. So you're just like doing anything, hoping that it works. And you try all these different things and you're really not thinking things through. You're kind of like throwing stuff at the wall and hoping something sticks, right? So I see that happen a lot, which comes back to the fear and the emotional part of it and the insecurity in yourself and insecurity in the relationship. And then you're not really confident in what you're doing because you're just trying to do everything and hoping that something works. And so really taking a step back and saying, what do I actually want here? What is actually going to help me get there? And I know many of you have come to our masterclasses and I do this exercise with you where I ask you, where do you want to be 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, 10 years from now? Really decide and listen to only that quiet voice within you when it comes to that decision for yourself, right? When it comes to decisions with your partner, of course, you know, involve them. But if your partner's pushing away and you are wondering, should I save this marriage or not? You've got to listen to that voice inside yourself and tune out all the other voices. Sometimes I see a lot of you listening to other people's opinions. Your friends are saying you should just move on. Maybe your therapist even says you should just move on. And if something inside of you is saying, I need to do this, I need to know I gave my marriage everything I could, I want to live my life with no regrets, then listen to that inner part of yourself that knows truth. When you really tune out your own fears, other people's voices, all that mind chatter, and listen to that inner part of you that knows truth, then you can move forward with absolute confidence in that decision, saying, I know I need to do this. And I know that for me, it's the right thing to do. And I've had that experience in my life, you know, going through cancer and people telling me to abort my baby, people telling me I was foolish for keeping her, people telling me, you know, family members, close immediate relatives telling me that I was being foolish by keeping my child and I should think about my 5 other kids because if I kept this baby, doctors are saying I was going to die, right? And I had doctors and medical professionals and friends and strangers come up to me and say, aren't you thinking about the baby and da 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 da, right? I had to tune out all those other voices and just listen to the one within. And when I did, that gave me confidence in my decision and the ability to know that I can do this, right? I can listen to that piece that comes from making a decision from that state of mind. And I'm okay no matter what happens here because I'm willing to live with this. I'm willing to live with this decision. So as you guys are making these decisions, tune out all the other voices, all the other opinions, and think about, am I willing to live with this? How do I want to look back on the choices that I'm making right now at the end of my life? Is that what I really want to look back and see? And if not, then what do I want to see and move in that direction? One thing that we say a lot is you guys choose your destination. You choose it and we will help you get there. So you guys want to choose your destination. Let me know what it is in the comments and we will absolutely help you get there. When you make that level, like a core gut level of decision of I'm doing this no matter what, the way always makes itself manifest. It always does. And I've seen it happen so many times, thousands and thousands of times that I know that that's true. So you decide where you want to go. You'll have confidence in it because you'll know it's right for you. All right. We do want to touch on this appearance issue that we saw come up and this feeling like I just need to be a certain size or my nose is too big. One of you commented, which, you know, I get that. Or you say, you know, I just need to lose 30 pounds. Or I lost 30 pounds, but my husband didn't notice. Or I'm actually too skinny and I wish my body looked like this. And I've had kids and I've got stretch marks and, you know, on and on and on and on we go. And I think that's one of the biggest fallacies out there is that we need to change the way we look to be accepted. And that's an external thing that's going to bring us a lot of happiness and security, peace and joy. And while we do need to treat our bodies well, and you know, there's an element of physical attractiveness, we also need to recognize that it only goes so far. And I've seen that in my own life where I thought, you know, if I just lost 15 pounds, I'm going to feel amazing. I feel so confident. And I got there and I didn't because the root issue was still inside me. I still had that internal dialogue and that internal belief that I was never good enough. And when you have that belief, then you're never going to find it by these external changes that are made. And I promise you that the more confident you are internally, the more physically attractive you are as well. Mark, would you agree?
Yeah, I would, you know, to touch on that, like as an example. So my wife and I, we have 5 kids. That's had an impact on my wife's body. We're both aware of that, especially like the last child where there are complications and a C-section, some issues with healing and all of that. And yet it's really, really attractive when my wife feels very confident about her looks. You know, I think over time, everyone's going to have battle scars or, you know, they're just going to age in certain ways. I'll admit I've put on weight since I've gotten married. You know, I'm not quite as trim as, say, 16 years ago. But, you know, in all these cases, it's not about like those elements that aren't attractive. It's being really confident and at peace with how you look, being confident in those pieces that are attractive. And maybe maybe you're saying, well, there's no piece of me that's physically attractive, but there's still many things that are attractive about you, very likely. And they're, you know, especially if you can be much more confident in that. You know, I think it helps in my own relationship with my wife that I comment and appreciate what I do find attractive about my wife. That really boosts her confidence, but it's that confidence that really, really makes it attractive itself. It's kind of like this odd, it's not quite a catch 22, but like I appreciate some of her attractiveness. She feels more confident, and then the confident itself is attractive.
Right. Yeah. It's like that self-feeding cycle, right? It's kind of like we were talking about with the trust. The more I show trust in you, then the more confident you feel in me, and the more confident I feel in you, and the more I want you to trust me. And so I'm going to do trustworthy things. And then you're going to express how that feels really good. And then on and on it goes, right? It just builds in this really healthy, beautiful way. So my friends, I believe that society has programmed us to be unhappy with our bodies. Society has programmed us to be unhappy with our partners and to be unhappy with ourselves. That is the dominant message out there. So we need to turn that off. And we just need to say, no more am I going to believe the lies that I've been sold. And if I've been telling myself a lot of lies about myself, I'm not good enough, I'm not attractive, I need to lose weight to be attractive, I can't be confident until, I can't be happy until, I need my partner to do this or anything like that, then recognize that those are limiting beliefs that are holding you back. And all of us have them, but we get to choose what we do about them. We can continue to believe them and continue to feed them, and they will continue to show up year after year, relationship after relationship. You'll see the cycles repeat themselves. Or we can choose to say, I'm going to live the truth of who I am, and I'm going to find those things that I'm seeking inside myself. I am confident. I am beautiful. I am good enough. I am secure. I am peaceful. I am serene. I am okay no matter what happens here. Mm-hmm. And when you get to that place, it shifts everything for you. It really does. It shifts everything. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. I want to touch on a comment here from Kim in the group. She said, I mean, we all have insecurities if we compare ourselves to the world, but we're all attracted to confidence. Biggest lesson my husband taught me, confidence is sexy. Mm-hmm. They'll be attracted to that if nothing else. And I couldn't say it any better. So thank you, Kim, for sharing that. We are all attracted to confidence, not egotism, right? Not selfishness, but true, genuine confidence. Someone that's grounded, someone that has peace and security within themselves. So talk to us. Have any of these mindsets stood out to you? Which do you feel like you are lacking in the most? Which do you feel like you may be doing good on? What do you want to improve from here? Which one are you going to take and apply to your marriage and to your life right now? And let us know how it goes. We would love to hear from you. We didn't cover really how to really build up these mindsets. And so we talked about emotional processing. We talked about expressing trust with where you're at in your relationship. And we talked about having confidence in your decision-making. And if you need more support in building up that confidence, then comment me and we will help you show you how we can help you get to that confident level, how to rekindle romance, how to restore trust, and how to heal a relationship as well. So comment me if you want some more help with that, and we will guide you on that right away. All right. And also, if you're watching on YouTube here, subscribe to us if you want to see how we help couples rekindle their romance and improve their relationship as well. All right. Now we're going to go to our marriage myth buster. I really like this one. Either my spouse loves me or they don't love me, doesn't love me, right? Either my spouse loves me or doesn't love me. Nothing I do will affect the way they feel. And I hear this one a lot and I get where it's coming from. Oftentimes when your spouse is pulling away, you feel like they are holding all the cards and there's really nothing you can do. And that's why so many people think that if your spouse wants out, then there's nothing you can do. But we've absolutely proven, Mark, with tens of thousands of couples now, that it isn't true. So what is the truth that we have seen?
Well, I think with this, there's another variation. I think these are very closely related. It's the idea I'm either in love or not. I can't choose how I feel. It's whether it's your partner has an emotion or doesn't, or you have an emotion or you don't, and you can't impact that. Now, I'm going to get into like impact on emotion and, you know, how you might be able to affect this in your spouse. But let's start with that first bit right there, like impact on emotion, because this is completely false, I think. What is true is that many times our emotions are a response to other things. And I think this is a little bit where that myth comes from, such as I feel angry when someone is disrespectful. Okay, so here's this emotion. It's not really a choice. I can't affect it. It just happens when this other person is disrespectful. Or, perhaps it's losing loving feelings when there's frequent tension. Okay, because there's tension, we're going to lose some of this romantic feelings. Nothing I can do about it when there's tension. The thing is, you can also choose your emotions if you want to. Like, even though there is a response, like, you certainly, emotions can be a response, you also can choose your emotions. So just kind of some theoretical background. If we go into like cognitive behavioral therapy theories, the basic underlying of that entire theory is kind of states that our emotions and our thoughts and our actions impact each other, that our emotions are affected by our thoughts, our beliefs, and our actions, essentially, which would somewhat imply that we have some level of control over our emotions. But that control is still basically secondary, as in like, I can control my thoughts, which affect my emotions, or I can control my actions, which affect my emotions. But maybe like this idea, you still can't directly control your emotions. And I even think that idea is not quite accurate. So like, here's this idea, like maybe I can affect my emotions by doing these other things, but like not consciously able to choose your emotions. And no, that's not the case either. Also within like a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy practices are like these meditative practices, which is kind of a very common exercise. It's also a very common exercise in like a lot of self-help areas, a lot of Eastern practices, but a lot of those meditative practices are mostly or all about consciously choosing the emotions you want to feel. I thought this was like this wild idea when I came upon this. Like, for fun, my wife Jen and I, we went to like this Buddhist meditation series of classes, and they were going to teach you how to meditate. And it was just like this crazy thing to me, like one of the first classes where the teacher is like, okay, you're going to sit and you're going to close your eyes, and you're going to like focus on being happy. Or I can't remember the specific emotion. I was like, wait, I can actually choose being happy. And he kind of guided us through like, okay, you're going to embody this happiness. It's going to fill you up. And I was like, oh my goodness, I am like consciously creating happiness, even though I'm sitting in this chair. What this means in a practical sense, though, is that there is an ability to choose new emotions, and there's an ability to support desired emotions by adjusting thoughts, beliefs, and actions. Now, further, let's take all that. We have an impact on emotions. We can choose our own emotions. Okay, let's go to another theory. This time, it's the guy's name is Martin Seligman. Martin Seligman is the father of positive psychology. He kind of approached psychology and said, okay, most of everyone else is talking about how do you fix things when it's wrong. He wanted to study, okay, what makes people right? What makes people happy? What makes people good? He's known to say that positive emotions are contagious, that your attitude and outlook have an impact on other people. You get a bunch of you get a few happy people in together in a room, and they're going to really amplify that happiness. Now, how this translates to you and your partner and their feelings, let's take all this together now. You can consciously affect your own feelings, either choosing it or impacting it by your actions or fostering your thoughts. You can help build a positive and loving narrative supporting certain messages within your relationship, affecting how your partner interprets your interactions. You are able to support more positive feelings by supporting actions and beliefs that build up love. It also means that you have the potential to reinforce negative feelings, tension, stress, and unromantic feelings. But like what I'm getting at here is this idea that either my spouse loves me or doesn't love me. The emotion there, we can't affect it, is just not true. There's all these different paths, either building yourself up or, you know, consciously building up specific ideas and feelings within your interactions that can have a big, big, big impact on the amount of love that is felt within a relationship.
Yes.
That's the Mythbuster there.
Taking that all, we actually have data to prove that that's true because we've helped so many of you guys do it. Couples that were just like you, your spouse said, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I just don't love you anymore. I don't have those romantic feelings. I want out. I'm not willing to work on the marriage. I'm done. And change that completely by you being willing to go first. So if you want to see how we do that, book a free call with us at highthrivecoaching.com/apply. And we will do a deep dive marriage analysis of where you're at currently, where you really want to go, and the exact next steps you need to take to get there. Thank you so much, Mark. Next week, we're going to share with you how to terminate your divorce process for good. So make sure you stay tuned next week. Thank you, Mark, and we will talk to you all next time.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.